You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two on this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Come on in, stay a while. You can watch on Peacock. Download the app. You can watch for free all 3 hours. You can also listen on our great radio stations around the country. Say good morning to Chat Row as well. Got a poll question. Got another stat of the day coming up. Kevin Durant could be back tonight, but James Harden may be out for at least 10 days. I almost get the feeling that the Nets are kind of toying with us, having a little bit of fun. Like, I don't know. Who wants to sit out for a couple of days just to give people something to talk about? I got hamstring. All right, you got it. You sit out for 10 days. And then Durant's out, and then Harden's out, and Kyrie goes for 40. Who's got back tightness? I'll take back tightness. You know what's going to happen? Let's say the Nets don't win the championship. At some point in the next, in 2 months from now, you'll hear the following. Well, they never really got a chance to play together. They didn't gel. It's kind of like LeBron and the Miami Heat when he first got there. Didn't really have time to gel. I'm calling it right now. If the Nets don't win it, that excuse is going to be number one on the list. I got that excuse. You know, they just didn't have time to gel. I'm going to give a pre-excuse for the Nets. They just didn't gel in time. And then we'll run down the list of other teams that weren't able to do that, including LeBron. Yes, Seton O'Connor.
Is that the close cousin of too many personalities on the team? Too many alphas?
Team chemistry.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to see if we can take multiples of these or if they're all under the same umbrella.
I think you could take one if you want. It's not under, this isn't a big umbrella that I'm opening. I'm just saying that they just didn't have time to gel together. Yes, Paul.
Yes, if they were healthy and played together and failed to win, it's team chemistry. When you have injuries, it's not enough time to gel.
Yeah, hamstring injuries, difficult to put a timeline on. They can linger. I mean, who knows about a hamstring? Like, you can say you got a hamstring. Like, is somebody going to refute that? Like, if you say I don't feel well and you don't have a temperature, all right. I got a hamstring.
That's
here.
Why you always have a stomachache.
Yeah, I know.
Your kid, my stomach hurts.
If the Nets are going to make that deep playoff run, then you're going to need Harden and Kyrie and KD to spend a little time together. And I don't know how many games they played together this year. Have they played a game together this year? I don't think they have. Yeah, Nick 11.
When you say gel, you mean when they're on the bench in street clothes, they're not going to high-five well?
Yeah. Because
are they really going to be around come playoff time? Kyrie's been the healthy one, and he never is healthy.
And he's checked out twice during the season already for personal time. So I have no idea. I have no idea. And I think it's I have to wait another month before we officially start talking about the MVP, because I've railed on this. It feels like that's a staple every day for shows. Well, who's the MVP now? I don't know. Because it was Joel. Like, we bounced around to about 8 or 9 people, it feels like. Yes, McLovin.
You were right. Now that LeBron is not on the court, nobody wants to talk about the MVP.
No,
I haven't heard it come up at all.
No, it's not important. But if you can include LeBron in the conversation, now you have something of substance. But if you say, let's argue Joel Embiid, even James Harden.
Versus Joker.
Yeah, well, you're not going to have anybody go, man, I'm upset you didn't include the Joker. Or you thought the Joker was... He might be the best player statistically in the NBA right now. The fact that the Greek Freak is not brought up immediately when we talk about MVPs, that tells you that, you know, this is all just manufactured conversation. Because the Greek Freak, what did he do? He's having another great year. He just didn't do well in the playoffs. That's all this is based on. If the Bucks went to the title game last year and lost in 7 games, we would look at the Greek Freak and go, yep, and he's got a chance to join Larry Bird and whoever else. Will Chamberlain, MVP 3 consecutive years. Hey, he didn't do well in the playoffs. He can't be an MVP. Well, he can be. Still be the best player during the regular season. It's just, I mean, that's how silly all of this is. He didn't do well in the playoffs, therefore, he can't win the MVP again. He can't join Larry Bird. Well, he can. Yeah, Paul.
I was looking at the latest standings and the difference between the West and the East. The two best, the fourth seed and the fifth seed in the West are the Denver Nuggets and Los Angeles Lakers. Both are contenders for the title. Fair?
Yep.
The fourth and fifth seeds in the East are the Atlanta Hawks and the Charlotte Hornets. Those sound like lottery teams usually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not, they're both having nice years, but man, top heavy.
With the Masters starting tomorrow, you would think that Dustin Johnson would get a lot of attention. You know, he set the course record. That was less than 6 months ago, but he doesn't create any buzz. He doesn't do many interviews. And I think he realizes he's just not good in interviews. But he is a great player. There's no Tiger Woods. It feels like it's Bryson DeChambeau. Now, Jordan Spieth won last week. Brooks Koepka trying to play on a surgically repaired knee. Justin Thomas is going to be the pick by a lot of people to win. But this is about Bryson DeChambeau. He's the lightning rod. He's unique. He looks like a linebacker. Like, we used to think Brooks Koepka looked like a big dude. And DeChambeau gets out there. That guy's wide. And watching him on the range the other day, he was swinging over 150 miles an hour. That's his warm-up. And there's buzz that he has a new driver that it might, quote, take the course to its knees. He's talking about driving the first hole, which is 455 yards, I believe. But, you know, you got Spieth and Justin Thomas, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy. Really, the star is the course, because now we get to see Augusta in its full glory in April. Hello, friends. All eyes might be on DeChambeau to start, but then the drama takes over, and then the tournament becomes the star. Bubba Watson, who has a couple of green jackets, will join us coming up. And Randall Chamblee, the analyst for Golf Channel, will join us. Scott Drew will join us on loan from Baylor's national championship team a little bit later on as well. Yes, McLovin?
I was going to ask a poll question. Who do you want to watch the most this weekend? Is there anyone to compete with Bryson DeChambeau? Is it him versus the field? Or
yeah.
Is there a second place, Dustin Johnson?
I mean, Phil is 50. All right, I'm curious. But if you said, you know, who's going to be the star, I'd say the course. The course almost always wins. But I want to see how far DeChambeau hits drives on holes where you know where guys normally hit it, and it you know, he can hit it 400 yards, but I just want to know what he does with wedges and putting, because if you put yourself in a good position there and you're hitting wedges in and you're taking advantage of par fives, okay, but I don't know if it's a course that you can overpower. Because it feels like, you know, they try to Tiger-proof it, which they made it longer, which doesn't make any sense. Like, yeah, the guy who hits it the furthest, we're going to Tiger-proof it and make it longer. They did that to Jack Nicklaus as well back in the 60s. With DeChambeau, there's only so much room there at Augusta. If you want to move back some of the tees, there's no room. You know, the tee boxes, where they are. That's what's interesting. Now, can they make it tougher? Yeah, they can. But, yeah, I'd say the course is going to be the star here. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Joe Douglas, the New York Jets general manager, was talking about this quarterback class. And, of course, they're second on the draft board there after Jacksonville. And Joe Douglas had this to say about just how excited he is about all of these quarterbacks.
We're excited about this class, and we're excited about this quarterback class. So we still have a lot of our process left in these 3+ weeks leading up to the draft, and a lot of productive conversations in the future coming up.
If they had like the 6th pick, would they be excited about the quarterback class in this draft? Would they still have Sam Darnold if they had the 6th or 7th pick overall? That's what I would be curious about. Here is Joe Douglas talking about, did the Jets ever think about trading the number 2 overall pick?
I think based on the decision we made yesterday, you can kind of see the direction we're heading. When it comes to pick 2, obviously never say never. You know, like I've said to you guys in the past, I'll always answer the phone if it's ringing.
All right. Well, I was told that the Jets and Dolphins did make inquiries with Seattle, with Russell Wilson. Now, how far it got, probably not that far, but I was told that they did reach out to Seattle, but Russ didn't want to go to those teams. So that ends the conversation. Yeah, McLeod.
Did Russ not want to go to Carolina? Did that even come up? Because I know it wasn't one of his listed teams.
I don't know. Yeah, I have no information on
that. That wouldn't have made sense, though, right? Because they're not on the verge of... They don't need to add a Russell Wilson.
When Dan Orlovsky said, oh, you know, the Eagles are in position to go after Russell Wilson next year. Okay. Why would he want to go to Philadelphia? I mean, the Bears didn't make sense, but the Bears makes more sense than the Eagles do. Like, I don't want to... At his age, he wants to be more than just a quarterback. Like, he wants to leave a legacy. He wants to be one of the greats of the game. He wants to be Tom Brady. He wants to be a businessman. He wants to be a mogul. He wants to be all of those things. Going to a rebuild in Philadelphia, that ain't cutting it. Yeah, McLovin.
But nobody wants to admit they're rebuilding. Like, the Eagles still hold on to something. They won a Super Bowl 3 years ago.
Well, if you're in denial, then that's a real problem for a team.
Yeah.
Because are the Falcons a rebuild?
Ooh. They have Julio Jones and Matt Ryan.
Well, and they could take Trey Lance. Are they in a rebuild if they draft Trey Lance? Okay. I would think the Eagles are in a rebuild.
I'll tell you a team that doesn't admit they're in a rebuild. The Bears never rebuild because they're 9-7 because they have an amazing defense and special teams.
This is the other thing that Joe Douglas, the Jets general manager, had to say about Sam Darnold.
I think it's safe to say that, you know, if our pick was a little later, we wouldn't be having this discussion right now. We'd fully be comfortable moving forward with Sam.
That to me is wild. Like, at what point do you say we can keep Sam Darnold, we can't keep Sam Darnold? 7th pick? 8th pick? 9th pick? Like, it was that close? Hey, you just go... Yeah, we got the 7th pick. Yeah, I think we get rid of Sam Darnold. But if we had the 6th pick, or we had the 9th pick, then we're keeping Sam Darnold. Yeah, Paul.
I love when they over-compliment someone who's leaving, who they want to move away. Like Sam Darnold, he's a great person. He's a pro's pro. You know, he's done nothing but good for the community and the Jets. We'd be here. We wish him the best. Wow, that's the kind of guy you want to draft. It's not like Sam Darnold's awesome.
They did not help him at all. They made some stupid... You look at what Buffalo did for Josh Allen, and look at what the Jets did for Sam Darnold. Because Buffalo was smart. And, you know, their head coach, Sean McDermott, was smart enough, being a defensive guy, to hire some really smart offensive guys to help out. And then the GM brought in some really great players. The Athletic had a really interesting column on this. You know, they got running backs there. They got linemen. They traded for Stephon Diggs, Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley. Those may not sound like big moves with Sanders and Cole Beasley, but you get veterans there to help Josh Allen. Sam Darnold, after his rookie season, the Jets fired their head coach, then replaced him with Adam Gase. They have a GM who handed out money to Le'Veon Bell and Jamison Crowder. The offensive line was not any good. And then the GM and the coach butted heads, and then the GM got fired and then replaced by Joe Douglas. Other than that, you know, Mike Maccagnan was the GM. God, he gave a second contract. You know what you do with, it feels like with players now, certainly with quarterbacks, it's like a lease. When you lease a car, you know, financially, it's friendly. All right, I got to keep it 3 years. And then you are asked, do you want to buy it? Well, that's the commitment. And that's why you have to spend money here. These quarterbacks are leased. And same with running backs, more so than quarterbacks. Like, I would lease a running back. I don't want to buy. I don't care how good he is. Saquon Barkley, as much as I think he can still be a star, going to be expensive. Christian McCaffrey, wonderful player. I don't want to give him a second contract. You know, Alvin Kamara, wonderful. I depending on the terms, I don't want to give you a second contract. And then Le'Veon Bell, man, he sat out. He's going to be fresher. I went, I don't want to give him a contract of $16 million a year for a team that isn't any good. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, if you look at the running backs, McCaffrey's the highest paid at $16 million per season. Kamara is $15 million. Ezekiel Elliott's $15 million. This takes away a lot of the bonus money they got up front. But, you know, the Titans did well with Derrick Henry. He's being paid $12.5 million a year. That's actually, like, fair on both sides, yeah. Feels like.
I was just reminded the Nets have played seven games with Durant, Harden, and Kyrie Irving. They went 5-2. The last of those games was February 13th.
Stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
Don't miss out on WWE's biggest event of the year, WrestleMania. You can watch your favorite superstars compete in their most important matches on the grandest stage of them all. Sign up at PeacockTV.com. Stream all the action live, airing April 10th and 11th only on Peacock. Couple of phone calls here. Carter in Colorado. Hey, Carter.
What up, DP? So I have my annual Masters picked for you on my birthday. See if I can go 3 years in a row.
Now, you've won a couple of times, and you, of course, were the first person to say that Tiger was going to win again a couple of years ago.
Yeah, not to brag. I called that one 8 months out. So, yeah.
Okay. So here is Carter's – and what is your process in picking the Masters champ?
So this year, Augusta is going to have fast, hard greens like it hasn't had in over a decade. So I'm looking at chips gained – into approaching the green or wedge game, and then also putting stats. Who has the best putting?
Okay. And your pick is? Hold on here.
Drum roll. I have three picks in descending order.
All right. Well, usually you just pick one.
All right. I'll just pick one then. My boy's Justin Thomas.
Yeah, that's not a surprise.
His putting and chipping is so good.
That's not a surprise.
Neither was Dustin Johnson. I pick winners.
Justin Thomas is one of the favorites there. That's not – your Tiger Woods pick was incredible. Dustin Johnson's not incredible.
I know. I said that wasn't incredible.
Okay.
Neither is this one, but I pick winners. That's what I do.
Thank you,
Carter. Can we get Carter's other two picks too, please?
All right, Carter. Wait, is this for our picks tomorrow? Okay, Carter. So you got Justin Thomas. Yawn.
I got Cameron Smith.
Now, I like that one as a dark horse.
Okay. He's a great putter, maybe the best putter out there right now.
And he's got nice hair, too. He's got a mullet.
I'm going with my old horse here, Lee Westwood.
Okay. He's had quite a year so far. Thank you, Carter.
Yeah.
Oh, I see Seton's writing this stuff down.
Just getting ready for the draft tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. I think Denny Hamlin, the great NASCAR driver, wants to take part in our Masters contest. Yes, Paulie.
You're right. Cameron Smith has a full mullet going.
Yeah, yeah. He's good. And he's got a faint mustache there.
But is that the shooting guard out of North Carolina in the NBA? That he's both? Cameron Smith? Isn't that a guy in the NBA?
Man, that was a reach. I'm used to that in the back row, but not on that side of the
back
row.
You're not a Cameron Johnson fan? Who is Cameron Smith? I honestly do not know Cameron Smith. Is he a big golfer?
I think he's Australian.
He's extremely Australian.
Yeah.
When that guy said Cameron Smith, I went blank. I'd never heard of him.
Yeah. He's, I could see that. That guy is never, like, his EKG is flat. He's never rattled. Yes.
When you predict things, I feel like golf might be the hardest thing to predict because the field is so varied. Like, experts get it wrong very often.
Well, go back to Jordan Spieth a few years back when he lost the Masters on the 12th. Like, that hole, and you're going, He just lost the Masters on one hole. One hole cost him another green jacket. I mean, it's that tenuous. Yes, Paul.
You should see this guy, Cameron Smith. In the front, it looks like he's got bangs like an Alabama quarterback. But then he's got a white forehead because he's a golfer and the rest of his face is tan. Then he's got shaved sides and a fantastic IROC-esque mullet out the back.
I love it. Yeah. Like he could be in my pit crew. I mean, it feels like Denny Hamlin would pull up and then, you know, Cam Smith would jump out and take off the tires. There.
Nice.
Yeah. Sound effects. That's free. Bubba Watson's going to join us coming up. And more of your phone calls as well. Are we having our picks tomorrow then for the Masters? Wait, are we going to have our picks during the first round of the Masters? Is that what we're doing?
A tradition.
Oh. Yeah, it's I think every other year we do it that way.
Okay. Well, we wanted to have Denny Hamlin involved in it, but Denny was busy. And then I said, well, okay, we can move the draft you know, just tell us when you can call in, and I think he'll call in the final hour of the show tomorrow, and then we'll have our draft. So you have guys who already tee off. Is that the way we're doing this?
Yeah, but don't let that sort of sway your opinion on who's going to win.
No, I don't know.
You got to think long term.
Yeah.
Through the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. It's 4 days. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Take a break, 21 after the hour. In an hour from now, we'll talk to Scott Drew. He is the Baylor head coach. Brandel Chamblee on the incredible golf swing of Bryson DeChambeau. Should he be the favorite? Take a break. Bubba Watson's next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Phil Mickelson, Xander Schauffele, John Rahm, and that guy in your group who's making all the birdies. They play the Callaway Chrome Soft Golf Ball. That's because Callaway doesn't just make the ball better for tour players. Callaway, very generous. They make a better tour ball for everyone. Whether you're a pro, low handicapper, weekend warrior, you want the best performing tour ball out there. It's the Chrome Soft. Number one selling tour ball, Callaway's number one selling tour ball is the Chrome Soft. They also have the number one ball on tour. It's Chrome Soft X. The ball is designed to give elite players precise shot workability and amazing greenside action. But if you want to hit some bombs, and don't we all, there's Callaway's longest tour ball, the new Chrome Soft XLS. Its low spin profile provides max distance off the tee with tour-level short game spin. And it's all about the short game. Chrome Soft isn't just better, it's better for everyone. Find your Chrome Soft today at CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Sneak in a couple of phone calls, then we'll get to Bubba Watson. Steve in Missouri. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, 5'10", 210.
All right.
Thank you. You guys were talking about offensive lineman jersey sales and yep. trying to get behind a candidate. I've got the perfect one.
All right.
My Kansas City Chiefs just signed Kyle Long, and he was issued or chose number 69. And so on the back of his jersey, you know what it says, Long 69. So I've already ordered two, home and away. So,
all right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Steve. A little creepy on the voice there, Steve, but all right. Yes, McLovin.
We asked in Twitter to send in like an offensive lineman jersey that's popular in your town. Everyone is number 69 on their team, whatever. We got 50 of them.
Yeah, and ordered a home and away. It says Long on the back, and it's 69.
I had them send it to a P.O. box so they couldn't track it. What?
Because that's what I really like.
Jalen in North Carolina. Good morning, Jalen.
What's up, Dan? 63205. When I was about 10 or 11, I had a Panther. I'm a Panthers fan. I had a Panthers John Casey jersey.
Oh, the kicker.
Yeah. Yep, the kicker.
Did you choose it?
No, I think it was a Christmas gift, actually.
Yeah, okay.
But no one else had the jersey, so I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah, and he was there for a while.
Yeah, he was there for a while. He blew the 03 Super Bowl, but he was there for a while.
Thank you, Jalen. Yeah, it feels like, you know, the kicker, you don't really think about the kicker until the end of a game, and then he either sends you home happy or you're really mad at that kicker. Yes, Todd.
I think if there's a play where I picture myself at a stadium, this is the way you judge it, and everyone's going to turn around and give you a high five after that play, that's a jersey that's okay to wear. If it's not, if it doesn't fit that criteria, then it's really weird, I think, to have that jersey.
Bubba Watson, two-time Masters champ, the ambassador for the award-winning Golf Clash, the number one grossing sports mobile game in the United States and the UK with more than 90 million global downloads. And there's a new version of the official Bubba Ball, his very own custom golf ball themed nine-hole cup tournament. And the themed Bubba Tee, Bubba Hole. Now, there's a lot going on here with Bubba Watson, who joins us on the program. Before we talk about that, Bubba, if you were going to play 18 holes at Augusta and you could only have one club, which one would you choose?
7-iron.
Have you done it before?
Not at Augusta. I've played a lot of golf with one club. I've played with every club in my bag. even a putter, just to see, just to try it. And then I just enjoy having fun with the golf at a golf course. So 7-iron is the best club, though.
Why is that?
You can hook it, you can cut it, hit low, high, but you can still manage to get out of a bunker if you need to. And you can still play bump and runs around the green. I just feel like that's the most versatile club.
Have you ever, can you show up unannounced to Augusta and play?
I don't know, because I always announce.
but you haven't been with your guys, and then you say, you know what, let's just get in the car and we'll drive down to Augusta.
No, if I'm taking guests, I have to call and have a member with me. Even though the member is like, we'll say a chaperone.
Yeah.
And I still have to pay for him and his caddy and all those things. But if I came by myself, I would still let them know just to give them a heads up. But I haven't been here by myself. I always bring a guest or two.
And what do green fees cost?
It's a great question. I've been very blessed, and I haven't checked the bill out in many, many years.
Wait, so you don't know what they put on your tab?
It's Augusta National, man. You just play it. You'll figure out the details later.
Do you have two green jackets?
I have one. They give you the same one, you know?
But you've won it twice.
I've won it twice, yes.
Well, that's not fair. You should be able to have one there and one at home.
Listen, I'm not going to argue.
Okay.
They give me the one. I'm good.
Okay. But maybe a green robe or something, you know, like a Masters green robe for home. What do you think?
If you know of a good robe place, maybe I'll just get one made.
I got a robe guy. He makes them for boxers. we put Bubba on the – I'm sure your wife would love that. You have Bubba on the back, your big green robe there. I always – and look, being a weekend warrior, you go from being on the range and you're like killing it. Like, you're unbelievable. That walk from the range to the first tee at Augusta, like, have you had one of those moments where you're great on the range, not good on the course, and vice versa?
Oh, we all had that. Yeah, the golf is so mental, you know? I mean, it's physical is what we always say is what, 10%, 90% mental. And yeah, you can get in your own way. As we've seen golfers, and especially myself, I've gotten my own way a lot over the years.
But what happens? Like, how do you explain that where that walk is not that far, but it feels like it's a long distance away when you're not playing well?
It's a four-letter word. It's called golf. And some reason we keep signing up for it. It makes us so mad, and then we come back and do it again. I don't know. That's a great question. And we challenge ourselves every day trying to get better.
What's it like when you want to hide out there?
Luckily, in the champions' locker room, you can hide pretty good.
But when you get on the course and you're not playing well, and you, in your mind you're trying to work on things, but you still got to play.
Yeah, you're hoping that somebody else is tearing the golf course up, so they're filming them and not you.
explain to me what you're doing with Golf Clash.
Yeah, it's the best game on the on any app right now. Golf Clash is just a fun game to waste some time, to play against buddies, and an easy way to do it. And, you know, we started a 9-hole challenge. I got my own tournament now in Golf Clash. I got a special Bubba T. You know, we still have the 1-hole challenge, one-shot challenge. And so we just kind of doctored it up, made it a little bit better. And, you know, it's something fun for me to do. Some of my friends do. And I've actually played with my son a little bit. So it's a fun time and a fun thing to do.
Is Augusta set up for left-handers?
I don't know. Jack Nicklaus did pretty well being right-handed. I think six times he won. Tiger's got, I think, five now.
Yeah.
So lefties are getting better. I think we're understanding the course a little more. And then seeing Mike Weir and Phil Mickelson win, it obviously gave us hope. And then I've won a couple of times. And lefties are growing. There's more lefties playing. There were some kids yesterday. The age 12 and 13 boys yesterday, there was four kids in that one age group that were left-handed. So I think lefties are coming out of the woodwork more and more. Companies are making better equipment for lefties, and there's going to be more lefties. So I guess it'll equal out at some point, you know, lefties winning here as much as righties.
When you were growing up, just because you're left-handed, Did you feel like you were different, or did people make you feel different?
I think people make me feel different. It wasn't really, I mean, I just play golf. I just play sports. I'm left-handed in all avenues of sports. And so, yeah, it's really just people ask me about being left-handed. I didn't really think about it. I just played. Hey, but whatever makes me stand out, I'm good with it.
Can you play right-handed?
Yes, but worse than you.
Oh. Seriously, if we played for money and you played right-handed and I played what I normally am right-handed.
Yeah, I mean, I could play. I could shoot. You know, I'd be considered a hacker or a one-day-a-week guy.
Okay.
But, you know, if I practice, I could probably get a little bit better at it.
Well, you know that I've played Augusta twice, Bubba.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah,
but man,
yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. 83 first day, 81, okay. 81 next the next day. Right-handed.
Well, yeah, you'd definitely beat me if I was right-handed. Then.
Yeah. But I also had the caddy who caddied for Seve, and he said, I'm going to tell you where to hit it and do not question me. And he saved me 10 shots, I'm going to guess. Because people, when you get to the greens, like you guys make it look really easy or easier. You get to those greens and you're like, oh, my God. Like, I have no idea how to read. How long did it take for you to feel comfortable where you kind of knew what to do and when to do it?
I'm still not comfortable. you know, it's funny. In November, a few months ago, the golf course played tremendously different. It was slower. The fairways were a little softer. So it changed everything we know about the course. And if rain's in the forecast, it changes everything we know about the course. And so we're always learning. But, yes, there's putts that you cannot believe that break a certain way. And you're like, there's no way it breaks that way. I've had a few putts like that where I'm like, there's no way I can trust this. And so you miss those putts and you try to not three putt.
And also people don't realize the undulation with the green. And also there's a lot of hills there. Like, you know, there's more of that climb than you really think. It feels like it's flat, but it's not.
Yeah. Every shot is, it's like you're on a slope. Every shot is side hill lie. And so you're trying to, you know, your swing's trying to compensate for that, trying to make the ball go a certain way. It makes it very difficult with the slope of the fairways.
Do you got your watch on right now?
Always.
How many of those do you have?
Man.
Well, you have too many if you don't know how many you have, Bubba.
Well, I've given away about five. So I think I got 13, maybe 15 at the house.
So those are, you only have two wrists. I mean,
it's, you know, you got to coordinate it with your outfit. You got to match this up. It's like these rappers, you know, they're rapping about watches, you know, and I have them, so I don't have to rap about them, I guess.
And who is it? Richard Milley? Is that?
It's Richard Mill. Yes.
Oh, I screwed up both of those names. That's why I'm not in that tax bracket where I can afford that. I can get the Patek Philippe, but I can't get Richard Mill. Mill.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, great to talk to you. Good luck with the app there. It's called Golf Clash, and we've been talking to Bubba Watson. Have fun this week, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man. Thank you. Have a good day.
That's Bubba Watson. Yeah, that's a really expensive watch that he wears out there. About $400,000, $500,000.
Richard Mille.
Richard Mille.
Mille.
Yeah. If you can't pronounce it, then, you know, you shouldn't think about buying it. Not that I was thinking about it. Those watches are crazy. They're all over $100,000, it feels like. Yes, McClellan.
Yeah, why do you need a watch? You have your time on your cell phone. I mean, I'm joking.
Thank you, McClellan. The back row hadn't done well today. I don't know. It just feels like you're reaching a little bit there. That's unlike you, McLovin.
Oh, not really.
Todd, it's like Todd. Yes, Paulie.
Do you want to play the What is Bubba Watson's Real First Name game? Because none of us knew it when I went around the room.
Charles.
Ooh.
Sorry to jump the line.
His real first name is not Bubba. There's a hint.
Okay.
He's from Florida. Baghdad, Florida.
Yep. Bubba from Baghdad.
I'm going to go Robert. That sounds kind of stately. Robert Watson.
Robert Watson.
And he's a junior.
Junior the third. Fritzy?
Stephen Bubba Watson.
Ooh. Okay. McLovin?
Thomas.
Okay. I'll do Michael Watson Jr. the third.
Jerry Lester Watson Jr. And it's G-E-R-R-Y. Jerry Lester Watson Jr. If he was Jerry Watson, he would have no green jackets.
Yeah, Bubba's great.
Jerry Watson doesn't wear a Richard Mille.
No, that doesn't move the needle. But it's like Matt Kuchar. If his name was Matt Smith, then no one would care. But he's Cooch. Although, do you want a nickname of Cooch?
There you go.
Yeah, it sounds like a good time to take a break here. We'll come back right after this. Cooch. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Paulie just printed out the odds for the Masters. We, of course, will make our picks on Thursday while the first round is underway. Dustin Johnson is your favorite, followed by Bryson DeChambeau, Justin Thomas, John Rahm, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay, and Xander Schauffele. Brooks Koepka is also in there, and he's 3 weeks removed from having surgery on his knee. I don't even know if he can reach down to pick up the ball out of the cup. I think somebody's going to have to do that for him. I don't know. I'm being serious. I don't know physically if he's going to be able to do that, but he'd been going through therapy, physical therapy, for like 8 hours a day to get ready for this. Yeah, Paulie.
I got a couple fun prop bets that I like.
Ooh.
Prop bet to make an eagle in round one of the Masters.
Okay.
Bryson DeChambeau plus 400. Put a hundy and make four. Okay. That's fun because he's going to be going for a lot of eagles.
Okay. Wait, so if I put up four hundy?
No, if you put up a hundy, you win four hundy on Bryson to bomb one.
Okay.
And the other one I like is the winning margin. The winner winning by two strokes or more, plus 350. Someone runs away a little bit. Those are my five
those
stars.
Those are your ones.
Five-star specials.
So can I ask a question about prop bets?
You just did.
Can I ask three questions about prop bets?
Yes, you can.
Okay, I got one left. Do places just make them up? Like, if you say, like, how about we do who's going to get an eagle in the first round? Okay. And then you can make a prop bet out of anything.
Yeah.
Right?
But I don't know how much you can bet on a prop bet. Because they usually cap those, don't they, Paulie?
Yes. Especially like things like the national anthem, length of the national anthem, because they could be fixed. So they cap it at 50 or 100 bucks. A lot of times in Vegas, you can't do prop bets at the window. They don't have sheets like that. Mm. Prop bets are a lot bigger online because they could have it all in one spot for you to look at.
Okay.
Wire-to-wire winner, that's a tough one. Does that happen often?
Apparently not. Plus 900.
By the way, anybody keeping track of Carter in South Carolina? His picks?
Well, he's got Cam Smith, who's in the top 10. He's got
plus 4,000.
Oh, is he?
Cam Smith is plus 4,000. Justin Thomas plus 1,100. And Lee Westwood plus 5,000.
Yeah. All right. I mean, those aren't crazy picks by him. Cam Smith's a nice little secret. You know, that's a sneaky pick. But Justin Thomas, I think you'll find a lot of people think Justin Thomas. I like Jordan Spieth back in the picture, though.
Yeah. His odds 2 weeks ago, way down the list.
What about a hole-in-one? Their prop bet on a hole-in-one?
Let's see. I have a... So an eagle on hole 7, specifically, is one. We got lowest round score. Number of players finishing in the tournament under par. The score of the cut line. Let's see. Winner to play in the final first tee group of round 4. Winning margin, winning score, and then wire-to-wire winner.
No, so there's nothing there for a hole-in-one. All right. So we got our research. Now we're ready to go for tomorrow with our big... Yes, McLevin.
Hey, I have a question about... So Dustin Johnson had that killer record year last year. Is the Masters like the U.S. Open where they try and make it harder, or is it just naturally hard without them even trying?
Well, that was, you know, 6 months ago, so the course was different back then.
It's easier in the fall. I, as a non-golfer, I find that very fascinating.
I know. They always talk about, oh, the greens are going to be fast, and the fairways are going to be, you know, quick, and well, I don't know. It can be a very challenging golf course.
Fastest in 10 years.
Is that what they're saying?
My research is saying.
Oh, okay. Yes, Todd.
When you played the Masters, because it's possible.
No. I played Augusta.
When you played Augusta National.
You didn't play in the Masters?
I didn't. No. Did
I? I thought you competed in the Masters, Dan.
You've been saying this whole time that you competed in the Masters.
I said that I played Augusta twice, Todd. That means I didn't play in the Masters.
Doesn't really count. You can't say that you played the Masters.
No, I played Augusta.
The golf course that they use for the Masters.
It's Augusta National where they hold the Masters.
I didn't get a green jacket, though, did you?
I did go into the room with the green jackets.
Were you allowed to do that?
Probably not.
That's a hard no, Dan. What you
and I opened up a couple of the lockers there just to see their green jackets.
So, and you played there twice, you said?
Yes, I did, Todd.
And you had like 85 and 81?
No, it's 83 the first day and 81 the second.
83 and 81. So what was your best amen corner? That's a hole 11 through 13. Did those give you an extra tough time? Those amen corner? I think there's a lot of people that don't even know what amen corner
is. What are you doing?
I wanted, as a prop bet, like who would get the lowest amen corner round, I would suggest as a prop bet. What would be the, what would you set that as for a best amen corner round? You don't like that prop bet.
I don't know what you're doing. Like, nobody cares.
No one cares about Amen Corner? They took the time to make it a special name for those three holes.
They care when the professionals are there. But, you know, 13 and 15, you can birdie, which I did. 13 one day, 15 the other.
Where did you give back the strokes then from day to day? You remember that?
Yeah.
Where you went from 81 to 83?
I birdied 12. I birdied 12 the first day, and then I put it in Ray's Creek the second day. Where did I cough up some strokes there? 10, double bogey, and driver 5-iron in.
Didn't listen to the caddy, did you?
No, I did listen to the caddy, but there are certain, you know, things that I couldn't overcome, like my game. But I should bring in some of the pictures, because one of the guys I was playing with took pictures of me on the course while I'm playing there.
Is that like one of those things where the caddy is like, I told you to hit it over here, and you're like, yeah, I'm trying. I tried to hit it over there. I didn't. Yeah, no. That's what I tried to do. Yeah.
Yes, Paulie.
What would be a bigger violation, like if you're playing Augusta, wearing jeans or playing on your cell phone during the jeans seem like as taboo as it gets.
You don't get in there with jeans.
Right. They wouldn't even let you out of property, right?
No. By the way, DraftKings is giving you a free shot at $1 million top prize during this weekend's tournament. Pick your golfers before they tee off Thursday. Rack up your points for pars, birdies, and more. Use the code Patrick to get in on all the action at DraftKings.com. Brandel Chambly, who I always want to say Brandel DeChambeau. Brandel Chambly will join us coming up at the top of the hour. We'll ask him, what he thinks of Bryson DeChambeau's chances here? And who's his pick to win the Masters? And then we'll talk to Scott Drew, the Baylor head coach, after winning the national championship. Believe it or not, it's 2 hours in the books. Only one more to go with Seton Pauly, Fritzy McLovin. Yours truly here on the Dan Patrick Show. Close out the second hour with rockauto.com. Pauly basically has a used car lot here. He's always buying, selling, and then he also needs some parts for his cars occasionally. And he reached out to rockauto.com. Family business founded by automotive engineers in 1999. Two goals in mind. First, giving Pauly direct access to all the parts information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, to make the parts affordable for Pauly, offering reliably low prices.
Dan, I just needed a little little thing, like the little vent for the air conditioning and heat, it was $7. It was not like a big deal. I didn't have to bring it to a service store. I just ordered it and plugged it in.
Wait, so you just type in what you need?
Yeah, you click the year of the car, the model, and it just walks you through all the parts and it shows you a picture so you know you can match it up with the car.
You're going to be treated the same way that Paulie is, just to let you know. Yes, you don't waste time phoning, driving, waiting in lines. Go to rockauto.com. Tell them we sent you. Write Dan Patrick in the "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. All the parts your car or truck will ever need at rockauto.com.